Pesach, we got into the Agra Yavar a little bit. We discussed Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, who may have argued on the general Shita that we hold of, again, the big three, the Gimaveros, as being the ones that one has to Yagva Yavar, give up his life, rather than to commit the big three. We discussed Rabbi Shmuel Shita a little bit. We got into a little bit that there were exceptions, or two exceptions, that Shar Mitzvahs also, a person would have to sacrifice his own life for other mitzvahs. Well, those are in two circumstances. What are the two circumstances? Behesia?
At
Shas Shmat, exactly. So we discussed, I think we dedicated one shir last Zman to Shas Shmat, defining what is Shas Shmat. It's mashma from the Rambam. Shas Shmat is when the government institutes a decrees on Klai Yisrael in particular, as opposed to if it's decree for the entire world. Like Achashverosh was not a Shas Shmat, because Achashverosh had the gzera for the entire world that he governed over, his entire empire. That was not exclusively anti-Semitic. And when it came to the other times in history, if it was particularly for one or two Jews, that too would not be considered Shashmat. Shashmat has to be when the entire Jewish nation and only the Jewish nation. That's Shashmat. We discussed that a little bit. And we discussed three reasons why Shashmat, why do things change during Shashmat. We said there are three opinions. Rashi is, why Shashmat do we all of a sudden give our lives up for any mitzvah? Rashi tells us, because we're concerned if we give in to this little mitzvah, the Goyim are going to continue to take away more mitzvahs and more mitzvahs. So we have to draw a line even at the smallest mitzvah. The Gideon Eshas quotes an opinion, no, it's because Kiddush Hashem. The magnitude of the Kiddush Hashem is greater in light of the Shashmat. It's a greater Kiddush Hashem, a worse Chil Hashem. And the Yad Ramah brings yet a third opinion why Shashmat is different, because also the Mizrach. They're afraid if we give in for this mitzvah, not that the Goyim are going to take away more mitzvahs, but the Klai Yisrael are going to give in to more, taking away, removing more mitzvahs. And there's an afkamina brought in the case of Hanas Atzmo. Let's say they make a gzera. The government makes a gzera for their own personal hana, not for anything anti-Semite reasons of any sort, but really just for their own personal hana. What's the din? So if the whole point is Chil Hashem, so then, or that we're afraid the Goyim are going to take away more mitzvahs. So in this case, the government's not doing it against Judaism. They're doing it for their own personal hana. But just because we give in for this mitzvah, it won't lead them to make more decrees. And it won't be a Chil Hashem either, because they're doing it for their own personal hana. But the point is that Klai Yisrael is going to be weak in their own performance of mitzvahs, then we should say this is considered a shashmat, and we should not violate it. So again, if a government says no longer could you daven because it disrupts something we do, so according to the last opinion, you should not give up davening. You should continue to daven, because we're concerned that if you give up davening, they're going to give up this mitzvah and that mitzvah. So that's something we spoke about at length last time. And then the other exception, I guess, was for Hesia in public. If it's in front of 10 Jews or more, even for the smallest mitzvah, one should give up his own life then to violate it. And we didn't discuss is how does one define what a mitzvah kala is. What's a mitzvah kala? What's a mitzvah kala? Something to do with the shoes, right? L'shnui akasa d'misana, changing the shoes. So maybe we'll dedicate a shir sometime in the next few days defining what that is. Big machlokas have shown what type of mitzvah does a person have to give their life up during Shas Hashanah and for Hashanah. Yeah?
The Rabbim has to be Jewish.
Yeah, the Gemara itself addresses that. The Gemara even asks, what if 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew? Does that work? The Gemara says, I ain't down of age, you need 10 Jews.
But would it be more of a Chil Hashem if the Jews understand why you would...
So you have to figure out what exactly Chil Hashem means also. So address that also hopefully down the line. But that question might be dependent on how you understand Chil Hashem. Now, the big question is, what's unique about these big three? Why do these Gimelveres, why are these the ones that we have to be most nefesh? Yeah, I'll raise the question.
Okay. Maybe because there's some kind of specific learn out from something in the Torah.
Okay, so Shui is taking just a very pyre approach. It's a Gzeiras HaKasuv. The Pasuk tells us these three. Gzeiras HaKasuv. Is there perhaps something a little more rationale behind it? What? Okay, so you could,
Like, it's Chil Hashem. Like, the thing I have with that is like, does it only create a Chil Hashem because there will be a few mitzvahs that you're not aware of, so that you're not allowed to commit?
Well, we already know, as Shimon said, the Torah, Drush is how we know these three. But what's special about the three sins? Is it because it generates a tremendous amount of Chilul Hashem?
But isn't that, like, Chilul Hashem is just like a concept that's like reactionary based on like what people are thinking? Is it taught like what meaning? They're only reacting in, as Chilul Hashem because they know in their minds that these are the big three. And if they weren't, meaning something could technically, like, you see, like, Machal Shabbos. Like, Machal Shabbos, like, for some people, like, that would also be a big Chilul Hashem because it's not one of the three Averos that you give your life up for. So it's like put down your other level. Meaning, like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Like,
right. So Aaron's question is as follows. Chilul Hashem is, you know, you see someone walking around in great adventure with their yarmulke and he throws his garbage on the floor. That's a Chilul Hashem. Even one person sees it, it's a Chilul Hashem. That could be a big embarrassment. So you say Chilul Hashem is subjective. It's not defined by these mitzvahs, it's how people react to certain things. So perhaps the Torah is telling you it's not so much subjective. It's really an objective thing. The Torah tells you there is going to be a Chilul Hashem. There's going to be some desecration of Hashem's name in perhaps more mystical and spiritual way than so much about the reaction, but more about the result in Shemaim, how those things work. That might be an approach you have to take. Or the Torah is telling you that these three mitzvahs in particular will guarantee a response, a reaction from the cloud. Yes, other bad things will also create a response, but not the same magnitude as the big three. Someone violating averus of Gilei Raos, or Shfichas Domim, or Avodah Zarah, that's going to create the greatest magnitude of biggest reaction. So one approach is it's Chilul Hashem. The response, the Chilul Hashem and Shemaim, that's one approach. What's another approach as to why these three are specifically Yag VaYavor? So let me read you the Lashon of the Ran. The Ran here in our sugya, Ayin Dalet Lamed. I'm just doing this as background. I know you guys didn't see the sugyas yet. I wanted to get involved in the Tosfos and the Baal Mora. This is just good background to have in general, how to understand the nature of Yag VaYavor. So listen to the language of the Ran. The Ran says, "Lefi she'elu ha'averos heim chamuros mikulon." He goes on to explain why each of them are chamur. But the point is, the mice avera themselves are inherently more severe than any other avera. The actual violation, not the response, not the result of the Chilul Hashem that's produced and generated, but the actual mice avera is so bad that you have to give your life up. Other averas, the mice avera is not as severe. It's about the mice avera being chamor as opposed to the Chilul Hashem. I'll give you an afkamina in a second, but is that distinction clear? So the Ran used the Lashon of Mitzvahs Chamuros. The Ramban and the Machamas also used that Lashon. You'll get there. The Rambam, on the other hand, Rambam in Mitzvahs Lo Saseh. Rambam counts two different mitzvahs. He counts the mitzvah, I think mitzvah Aseh Tes Kiddush Hashem, a positive mitzvah to sanctify Hashem's name, and a Lo Saseh, a negative commandment, to not be Mechal Hashem. So mitzvah Ayin Gimel, is it Ayin Gimel or Samach Gimel? Samach Gimel. It's a mitzvah of Chilul Hashem. So what would you include in Chilul Hashem? I would include in Chilul Hashem violating any of the averos b'farhesia. I would include Sha'as HaShemach. That's Chilul Hashem. Would I necessarily include the Gimla Averos, the mitzvah of Yag VaYavor, of the Gimla Averos in Chilul Hashem? When you let's say like this. Let's say I was a gun was to my head and I was told to kill someone or I get killed. And I decided to violate the Averos and kill him. If I kill him, is that a violation of Chilul Hashem, or is that a violation of Ritzicha? What?
It's definitely a violation of Ritzicha.
Oh, yeah?
Well, not.
I'm not so sure.
Why not?
Because there's another concept called Onis Rachmana Patre. Lenara Lo Sasa Davar. The Pasuk, we learn a concept. When someone's Onis, someone's being forced to do something, he's Pater. He's Pater from a punishment. So not so clear that that's true. But well, we're going to address all those points. But so what violation? When you, if you're forced to kill someone, you're forced to have Gilei Raos, you're forced to do Avodah Zarah, is that a violation of the Averas, of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raos, Shechas Damim, or is it a violation of Chilul Hashem? Yeah. Okay. Maybe. I mean, not necessarily, not just because the guy's blood might be, you know, redder than mine doesn't mean if I kill him, I'm violating Ritzicha. Just the result being, who's better to be alive, me or him. doesn't necessarily indicate that the Maisa I did was a Maisa Ritzicha. But anyway, so that's... I'm not sure it indicates either way. I'm not sure if you could bring proof from that Svara. But the Rambam writes, in the Mitzvah Saseh, Lo Saseh, Evchil Hashem, he includes Din of Yag VaYavor. Because he thinks Yag VaYavor, violating those Averas, if you were to violate them, even though under pressure you violate them, you don't violate the actual Avera, Vitzicha. You violate the Isra of Chil Hashem. It's about the Chil Hashem that's generated. And the Rambam reiterates this point in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Perkei. Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam discusses in Perkei the issue of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. He starts off the Perkei saying, Kol Beis Yisrael, entire Beis Yisrael, is Mitzuvah Na Kiddush Hashem, and Chil Hashem. And he goes on to explain, included in this is Yag VaYavor, the three Gimel Averos. So Rambam's in the camp of Chil Hashem. The Ran, on the other hand, and the Ramban, which we'll see, says, no, it's about the Mais Avera. And if you were under pressure and you killed someone, violated the Zara or Gilar Ass, you would have been violating those actual Averos and not the Isser of Chil Hashem. Yeah.
Well, if it's an Isser of Chil Hashem, then how do you explain the opinion that says if it's in a you?
Even Bitsina, no, Bitsina, the Gimel Averos, I feel Bitsina, you have to get killed. Better for you to be. Right, so right now you're assuming Chil Hashem is what Aaron originally assumed. It's about the reaction from the Baba. So it might be, even when such a Avera is done Bitsina, maybe it's going to be in the newspapers. Or it's not about the reaction. Chil Hashem means the magnitude, the result it has in Shemaim for such an Avera. When it comes to the big three, it has a big result. I'm leaving them both open. I'm not, you know, cornering myself. But either it's about the Chil Hashem, people will end up knowing about it. Even though the Mais Avera is done Bitsina, the reaction will still be that people will know about it. Or, no, Chil Hashem, it means about the reaction in Shemaim. So when it comes to the big three, I feel Bitsina. Since the Avera itself is so bad, that will create a Chil Hashem in Shemaim. When it comes to lesser mitzvahs, the lesser mitzvah themselves won't generate a Chil Hashem unless they're done before Hesir. Before Hesir will add to the impact, and that will create even a Chil Hashem in Shemaim. Yeah, with me on all this? I know there's not a lot of different points. But the big yisod is Yag VaYavor Midin Chil Hashem or Midin the Chomer Avera, the actual Averas are being violated. So I bring you an Afkamina. What's the din if a person decides not to give his life up for these three? He says, no, this is too much for me. I can't. I'm too comfortable in America. I've got such a nice life here. I can't give everything I have. What?
I like living.
I like life. I like enjoying life. I want to do more mitzvahs. I know I'm commanded to, but I can't do this. It's too hard for me. So he says, I'm going to violate the Avera anyways. One of the big three. What's the halacha? Does this guy get killed now? He violated Avera.
Of course, at that point, what we're basing of why Boris Chochem is one of these three is because if you see someone about to do it, you kill them.
You see someone about to do it, you kill them. No, not Boris Zara. You're talking about Rodif?
Then we say.
Gil Rouse, maybe. I think. Which line are you going on? All right, this is one opinion. We don't pask in this web. But either way. So what's that guy again? Chooses not to give his the Moser Nefesh, yet he violates the Ver. What's the halacha? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, Perek Hey, Halacha Dalad, he says, Afa Pikein, Mipnesha Aver Be'ones, since he violated under pressure, he was forced to, Ein Malkinosa, you don't give him lashes, Ve'ein Sarach Lomar Shein Mamisnosa, needless to say, we don't kill him. Even a feel hard bonus, even though he killed someone because of the pressure. It's completely off the hook. You look in Rabbeinu David, the Ran quote to Rabbeinu David, on Daf Samech Aleph, I think it is. Rabbi David says, "Im hisubo, if you warn the guy before you kill that guy, even though he's on Petra, you warn him, you're going to be violating the Isser Tzicha, and he kills him anyways, this guy gets killed." Again, Reuven's on the pressure. A guy's putting a gun to Reuven's head. Kill Shimon or I kill you, Reuven. Reuven kills Shimon instead. And he's warned by another two Jews not to kill him. But Reuven kills Shimon anyways. Reuven gets taken to Basin and killed for violating Isser Tzicha. Ram says, you don't get punished for doing it. You're under pressure. So what's the machlokas? So seemingly machlokas is as follows. How do you understand the nature of Yag VaYavor in general? Rabbeinu David assumes Yag VaYavor. Why is it better for you to get killed than violate the Vera? Because if you violate the Vera, you're violating the actual Mice of Vera. You're violating Ritzicha. You're violating Gerayas. You're violating Avodah Zara. And if you go ahead and kill a person, you get killed for that, like any other Avera. The Rambam says no. Yag VaYavor is not din in the Averas themselves. It's not the Chomer Avera, because the Averas are so severe. The Yag VaYavor is a din in Chil Hashem. So if I went ahead and violated the Averas anyways, I didn't give my life up. I didn't violate Ritzicha or Shvichas Dam or Ritzicha or Avodah Zara or Gilarayas. I violated a different Isser called Chil Hashem. If you violate Chil Hashem, you don't get punished for Chil Hashem. At least you don't get punished in this world for Chil Hashem. So that's the machlokas Rambam Rabbeinu David. This basically this nafkamina, the nafkamina for whether it's Chil Hashem or the Chomer Haver. Everyone with me on that?
Yes. Chomer Haver would get Mrs. Bidei Shemayim instead of Mrs. Bezin, because Mrs. Bezin would be Chomer, so it's clean when you go to the next one. Mrs. Bidei Shemayim. Like by
Mo,
give all your children, you don't get a
punishment. Right. No, but the Rabbeinu David holds that since when you violate the veras, the chomer vera, the vera itself is so severe that even under pressure, you have to keep the you have to prevent yourself. So it's like any other case of murder, like any other case of gilras. Nothing has changed.
If it's such a but if it's such a chomer vera, like the Ron says, the most chomer vera, mm-hmm. So you shouldn't get a punishment.
No, but the Torah tells him you get a punishment. The Torah in general says for Avodah Zarah you get mitzvah, for Gilarayas you get mitzvah, for... The Torah already tells us. So once that's true, nothing changes just because you're under pressure. I mean, let's say it this way. When you violate the Averas in the vacuum, you get a punishment. Now what happens, does anything change when you're under pressure, when you're onus? So Rabbeinu David says nothing changes. Normally onus exempts you from certain averas, from certain punishments. When it comes to these averas are so severe, writes the Ran, that onus does not exempt you. You have to prevent yourself from violating the averas, even under pressure. The Rambam says, no, these averas are no different than any other averas in terms of the severity. Just like any other case, onus will exempt you. Here too, also onus will exempt you. There's a separate issue here of Chil Hashem. So if you go ahead, according to the Rambam, if you go ahead and violate it, you didn't violate the Avera of Ritzicha because you were exempt. You violated the Isser of Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem does not warrant a punishment. Rabbeinu David thinks they are the actual Averas because they're so severe, even they could override the onus. Even the pressure, you still have to, they still maintain its initial Maase Avera. Is that clear how that's enough, Gamino? Whether you get punished for violating them as opposed to being Moser Nefesh? Now, yeah, I want to make sure you guys are clear because now we're going to get to a complicated point. Now, you didn't see this stuff inside. I'm just trying to give you some basic background.
So we're saying that we're adding on to whatever punishment the Torah is giving us from a regular case. We're adding, meaning we would be punished. We'd be punishing him like whatever the Torah says stop because he's doing the Avera. And that's it.
Corner would be no doubt. Everyone on board? No? Should I repeat that again? We're good? Not good? Yeah, okay, fine. So now, the sheet that's Ramban gets complicated. Yeah, I know I keep referring to the Ramban, you'll see it inside, there's a lot to do in the Ramban. Ramban learned like the Ran. Ramban was a Rebbe of the Ran. Ramban writes that's about the Chomer Avera, the severity of the Maase Avera. And even in the case of Onus, the Maase Avera still is intact, and you can't violate. So what would the din be if he was under pressure and he violated the vera anyways? What do you think the din would be? Based on what we said already? He should get killed, right?
But does that mean there's no Chilul Hashem if they know what they're from right there?
There might also be, well, Chilul Hashem doesn't bring on a punishment, but there probably would be an aspect of Chilul Hashem also, I would guess. Maybe not Batunah, maybe that wouldn't be. So, Ramban should say that if you violate the Avera anyways, even though under pressure, you should still be killed, because it's about the Chomer Avera. You still violate a Ritzicha, Avodah Zarah, and Gilaraos. However, the Ramban in many places writes that if you violate the Avera, anyways, you're Pater. Why? Didn't you say it's all about the Chomer Avera? It's all about the Chomer Avera? That's the Kasha. Remember the Kasha? You should hold like Rabbeinu David. So the truth is, I think the Ramban really makes more sense. With the concept of the onus rachmana patre in general, across the board, we never find distinction, the onus rachmana patre, so you should put in every single case, even the Gimel Averos. I think Rabbeinu David has to explain why onus rachmana patre doesn't exist in this case. So basically, Ramban and Rabbeinu David both agree that it's about Chomer Avera. It's about the severity of the Avera. They're just arguing whether you get punished if you violate any of this. So what's that machlokas? Moving to a different point now. Both in the camp of about being the Chomer Avera, the severity of the Avera, but do you get punished or not? So I think you can explain as follows. When it comes to the topic of onus rachmana patre, that you're pater for if you're under pressure in a normal case, that can be understood in two ways. There's a Rav Yosef Engel has a piece about this in Asman Deraisa. There's a Rav Chana Wasserman, there's a Rav Shing Subas, a Rani Nadarim talk about this topic. When the Torah tells me that onus rachman patre, that you're putter from a punishment, does it mean you're putter from the punishment? Yet there is still a Maisa Vera. We still acknowledge you did a Maisa Vera. Let's say you were Mechal Shabbos bonus. You were forced to be Mechal Shabbos. Do we recognize that there's a Chil Shabbos that took place, but you just don't get punished for it? Or Onus Rachman Patri goes so far to say that we don't even recognize that there's a Maisa Vera. Even the Maisa Vera is wiped away. Nothing happened. First time is, we recognize, we acknowledge that there was a Maisa Vera done. There was a Chil Shabbos. But Onus tells me, the Patri tells me, you're Pater from a punishment in the case of Onus. But there's a Maisa Vera. The second approach is, we don't even acknowledge the Maisa Vera. That's the Chiddush HaTorah. Even the Maisa Vera is not existing. So, yeah, that might be, exactly, Bidish Shema might be a very relevant point, very good. The other Nachmanides also. But maybe you could use this Yisod to explain Rabbeinu Dov and Ramban whether you get punished in this case of Gimel Averos. How so? Let's see if I wrote this down, how did it work out? His father Ramban perhaps holds as follows. He thinks that there's an exemption, normally, there's a patur in the punishment, but there still is a Maisa Vera. In general, you Mechal Shabbos, the patur of Maisa Vera, there's a patur onish, but the Maisa Vera exists. So here too in Gimel Averos, there should be no different. If by Chil Shabbos we acknowledge that the Maisa Vera is there, Kal Vachomer for the Gimel Averos, which are more severe, we're going to acknowledge the existence of the Maisa Vera. And there should be no difference. The din of onus is going to pater in both cases. But the Rabbeinu David says, in general, he thinks the onus rachmana patre completely uproots the ma'is avera when it comes to chilul Shabbos and other averas. That's the chilul shara. What changes when it comes to the gimel averas? Since the gimel averas are so chomer, are so severe, the onus cannot touch the ma'is avera themselves. So even though normally onus rachmana patre gets rid of the maisa vera, and once there's no maisa vera, mimela, there's no punishment, when it comes to the gimel averos, the onus cannot touch the maisa vera. The maisa vera is still intact. Once you acknowledge the maisa vera of the gimel averos are still intact, mimela, there's going to be a punishment. That's where Rabbeinu David thinks there's going to be a punishment for the gimel averos. That clear? Should I say it again?
Ramban doesn't hold that. There's no maisa vera.
No, the other way around. Ramban thinks, in general, onus could just touch the onus. Doesn't have anything with the maisa vera. Just touches the onus.
Oh, so there's no punishment with the maisa vera.
Exactly. So just like in general, onus only touches the punishment, doesn't affect the maisa vera. The maisa vera still exists. So too, when it comes to the gimel averos, the maisa vera, they're more chomer, they exist, but it's no different than the Chil HaShabbos. Both cases, the Maase Avera were existed.
Wait,
sure, yeah, yeah. You're potter from getting punished. You don't get a punishment.
And
Rabbeinu David would say that we don't even acknowledge that the Maase Avera took place.
Oh,
so should I say everyone would think so? Again, in general, so again, there's obviously Rabban and Rabbeinu David both agree that the Maase, the Gimel Averos, are more chomer. The Avera themselves are more chomer than the general Maase Avera. So let's say Rabbeinu David, I'm speculating that Rabbeinu David thinks in general, Onesh Rachman Apatre removes the Maase Avera. Let's say in the case of Chil Shabbos, there's no Chil Shabbos. Once there's no Chil Shabbos, you can't get punished. You didn't do anything wrong. What changes for the Gimel Averos is that the Gimel Averos are more severe. So although Onus could remove the Maase Avera of Chil HaShabbos, it cannot remove the Chomer of the Gimel Averos.
What makes them so strict?
Well, that's what the Ran goes on to elaborate, what's unique about those two. Once they are more strict, maybe the Chiddush is that Onus can't touch these Averos. They're so powerful. Once Rabbeinu David acknowledges the Maase Avera in this case, Mimela, there has to be a punishment attached to it. Ramban thinks no. What Onus does, Onus, Rachman Apatri tells me there's no punishment. It tells me nothing about the Avera, only about the punishment. So when it comes to the Gimel Averos, nothing's going to change. Just because the Gimel Averos are more chomer than normal Averos, Onus has nothing to do with Averos, according to the Ramban. Onus has what to do with Onus. It's Medin Onus, not Medin Maisa. And therefore, for the Ramban, it can't touch the Maisa Avera. That's clear, and it may be a little complicated, but I think that's pshat in perhaps what the Ramban and Rabbi David are arguing about. So that's just general background. Now, what you have to know moving forward is, again, that Yesod is Yag VaYavor a Chiddush. It's a din in Chil Hashem or a din in the Chomer Havera. That's an important Yesod you have to latch onto moving forward in the Sugya. Now, third, another idea that comes out, also important to keep in mind. There's another concept called Abizrayu, the Gemara talks about later on, are extensions of the Gimel Averos. Now, what are considered the Gimel Averos? What are considered the three Averos? So, by expanding the Gimel Averos, it could be one of two reasons. Let's say, for example, I'm including the Gemara in Sota, Rabbi Kiva Eger, on the Daf, and Ayin Dav and Aleph, refers to the Tosas and Sota, the Daf, Yud Aleph, Yud Amin Beis. Gemara that talks about al tabin chavero b'fnei rabin. A person should not embarrass a person in public. And someone who does embarrass someone in public is ki'ilu shofech adamim. If you killed someone, based on the sugiz of the psukim of Tamar and Yehuda, right? Tamar said, whoever has this ring and she didn't call out Yehuda, because better to get killed thrown in the kivshan shaleish than to embarrass someone in public. So the Gemara assumes that embarrassing someone in public is like killing. And Tosas deals with the case, well, is that someone obligated in Yag VaYavor? Is that one of the examples of Yag VaYavor? Is that really Mesiras Nefesh? So let's assume it is. It sounds like Gemara and Tosas that it is. You have to be Moser Nefesh then to embarrass someone. So it could be one of two reasons. Either because you understand that embarrassing someone in public is really lemaisa, like killing someone. It fits into, it's not a new category, it is mamish ritzicha. Or, you could say the big three, are not so rigid, not so narrow. They're more expansive. It's not just the Maase Averos themselves, but even extensions of them. You could even assume embarrassing someone is not mamish shvichas damim. But since it's an extension, it's abizrayu, it's somehow a branched off of the Avodah Zarah and Giras shvichas damim, that too would be included. So you guys saw already, you just saw the Balmor in the back. Balmor got into a case. Is someone allowed to use Avodah Zarah for medical purposes? Now, using Avodah Zarah, say, a Asherah tree for medical purposes, is not a violation of Avodah Zarah. You're not worshipping.
Meaning, like, if you can make, like, a cream out of the tree.
Yeah. So is that going to be a problem? The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chafheh talks about this. So the Balmor says one cannot use the for medical purposes of Avodah Zarah because it falls under the category of Abizrayu. It's not because it's Abizrayu, not because medicine is Avodah Zarah itself, because he understands that you expand these three categories. That's something to keep in mind. So now, why would you assume one or the other? Why would you assume, can you extend these categories, or you're very limited to the category itself? Does it have to be mamish avodah zarah, mamish ritzicha, mamish gilui ra'os? Or no, it could be a little more expansive, anything that might be related to it. That's another machlokus we'll come across. I'm just trying to give you general ideas to help give you the tools to move forward. So what would that machlokus be based on, you think? You hear the question? Is it to be considered Yag Vayavor, is it only these three? You know, so I'm saying one way if you were to extend it and apply it elsewhere, it could be for one of two reasons. It could be either be because you think the extension is mamish one of the three. Embarrassing someone in public is really like murdering someone. It's not a new category, it's within the three. That's that building making a chart. I wouldn't extend it, branch it up, I would put it in Ritzicha. Or you could explain why is embarrassing someone in public a din of Yag VaYavor? Because you're expanding, you're drawing like a flow chart. Under Ritzicha, there are subcategories. So now, if you were to extend it and add subcategories, it's an extension, but not the same thing. So some would expand it to other subcategories below Gilui Ra'os and Shfichas Damim and Avodah Zarah. Others would not. They'd limit it to the big three only. What would that machlokas is? What's the root of the machlokas is? Whether you expand it to Abizrayu or not to expand it? What do you mean? Yeah, so how does that connect?
The smaller thing is bigger, so the Hashem could be the same type of
one. Uh-huh, and the other way?
It's based on the Chokmah, then you can't.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll just know, he's right, so let me just flesh it out. If the reason Yag VaYavor is because the Chomer Havera, the Mais Havera is so severe, so then it would be limited to those three Haveros. Anything that's extended as a subcategory, it's a subcategory. It's not the severity, it's not the same type of Mais Havera. It might be similar, but not quite. It's not about the Chomer Havera. But if the problem of Yag VaYavor is a Din Chil Hashem, the Chil Hashem that it generates, so it's anything that's related to Avodah Zarah, anything that's related to Tzicha or Gilui Ra'os, can, perhaps will, have that same Chil Hashem produced. And you would be able to extend it to Abizrael. So we'll see in the Baal Mor, just to foreshadow a bit, the Baal Mor is of the opinion that it's about Chil Hashem. It's all about Chil Hashem. And he's also of the opinion he extends it even to the Abizrael. Because Chil Hashem can be generated even through extensions, even through subcategories of these three. Others, like the Ramban, might limit it. The Ramban thinks it's all about the severity of the Mais Avera. He might limit it to only those three specific Averas. And any extensions you might see are not really extensions, are not really subcategories. Those extensions are really the Avodah Zarah itself, or really the Gilui Ra'os or Ritzicha itself. You with me on that? So that might be a second nafka mina of how you understand Yag VaYavor. Other examples we might spend this year on this would need to be considered one of the Gilui Ra'os. Would Mishkav Behemah, we spoke about this, Mishkav Zachar, would Chayvi Lavin, let's say a Kohen Gadol and a, what's it called, a Almana, a Kohen Hedyot and a Grush and a Chalutza, would a beer with a Nachris, would that be considered a Gilui Ra'os? These are all other extensions. That's an interesting truth, is Radbaz. Normally the din is, if someone tells you to violate, let's say, Shabbos, but Tzinnah, you don't have to violate. Right, you do violate, you don't give your life up. It's not one of the big three. But let's say the guy says to you, I want you to violate this Shabbos, Chil Shabbos, in order to prove that the entire Torah is false. So that writes the Radvaz and the Tshuva, that's the Avodah Zarah. Even though the Mais Haver you're doing is Chil Shabbos, since he's doing it for the purpose of showing the entire Torah is incorrect, that's basically Avodah Zarah. That's an extension of something under Avodah Zarah. So maybe we'll get into some of these categories, how you expand it. So I guess we'll just, since everyone's for the Gemara, we'll just, for the next few minutes, we'll just read the Gemara quickly, hopefully, and then Sunday we'll get into the Tosfos and the Rishonim. So the Gemara says, in the case of Esther, right, the din is a mitzvah only for the Gemara Veris, you give up your life. But for Hesed, in public, you give up your life for any mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, what about Esther? V'ha Esther v'far Hesed, wasn't Esther a public case? Everybody knew Esther was married to Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus was a Nochri, and we'll get into what the problems are. So, didn't she have to be Moser Nefesh, give her life up, not to violate any Avera in public? So Gemara gives two answers. Abai says, Esther Karka Olam Hayisa. She was Karka Olam, Rashi tells us, means she didn't do any Maisa. It's a big machlok is how to define Karka Olam. We'll get to that. Another shir. Rava says, no, Hanas Atzman Shaini. No, he did it. He wasn't doing it to be Oker Das. He wasn't doing it to uproot Yadus. He was doing it for his own personal Hana. When you do it for your own personal Hana, that's not a violation. So we see there are two heterium when it comes to be Moser Nefesh. Normally, it's to be Moser Nefesh when it comes to anything in public. But if it's Karka Olam, there's no Maisa, or it's for the personal benefit of the guy, those are two heterium. You don't have to give your life up. Now, Tosfos asks, along with all the other Rishonim, the Gemara should ask the greater question. Forget Esther being before Hesia. Even if the whole case, the whole story of Esther is Bitsina, it was in private. Wasn't it Gilei Raos? Wasn't she married to Mordechai? She was an Eish HaShish. Married to Mordechai. Married to Mordechai having relations with another man, that's a violation of one of the Raos, Eish HaShish. So why is the Gemara asking only before Hesia? That's a question of Tosfos. Tosfos will end up giving two answers. There'd be two huge machokasim in Tosfos. The Baal Mor, the Ramban get involved in this also. And it gets very tricky because there are two main issues that are taking place here. I was thinking about one issue is, well, I just gave you the background, how do you understand Yag Vayavar? Midin Chil Hashem or Midin Chom Raver? The other issue at play is something we touched upon in the past, is how does one view B.S. Nachri, having relations with a Nachri? Is that one of the Raos? Is it not one of the Raos? Is it considered my Sabir? Is it not considered my Sabir? How does it work? Is someone who's married, an Ish, if she has a beer with another non-Jew, is that going to be a problem of their own marriage? That's another topic I've thought about doing before to give introductions, but I decided not to. There's going to be a very dense sugya, but it's a very fun sugya, and that's what we're going to do hopefully on Sunday. Okay, stop here.